Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, creating lifestyles and livelihoods of sustainable prosperity. Universe Spirit offers strategies for tackling humanity's most urgent global challenge, climate destabilization. Go to universespirit.org to find out how you can make a difference in our quest for a prosperous and sustainable future. It's August 18th, 2015, and you're here. And this is Insight Out, the Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. Welcome to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about life's essential questions, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises.
Our time tonight has been sponsored by Go Raw, 100% raw food that tastes great and it's really good for you. What a great combination.
And Go Raw can be found at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, the organic section of Costco, and Safeways.
And in your mouth, hopefully.
But to find out where Go Raw can be found in your neighborhood, just go to goraw.com and you will know all about it. Tonight's show is...
Well, that's beside the point.
And we're going to be answering questions like, what is the point? What's beside it? In front of it? Behind it? What's it all about anyway? I mean, it's all beside the point.
Well, that's beside the point, because, first of all, I want to suggest that if the point is like over here and it's like pointing in a certain direction, like if you're at your computer, go on and get your hand on your pointer just to kind of get in the mood. Here's your pointer and it's moving around. Now, when you stop your pointer, look to the side, and that'll be your first clue as to what's beside the point.
That's beside the point.
It really is, isn't it?
You remember the years ago there was a book that came out about the point?
Yes.
It's right. Like, what was the point? What is the point? What is the point about? I think that whatever that we're focused on is the point.
It brings up the question, though, of purpose. It brings up the question of meaning. When do you get to the point? Like, that's another way to have a conversation. But you get to the point, how many times have we heard that or said that or felt it?
Yeah, but that's beside the point.
Right. This is going to be a tough one, folks, because there's very little that's going to be on point, obviously, if everything's beside the point. Which reminds me, though, of a concept that I read. It says, in order to function in life and reality, you have to have frames of reference in order to function. But all these frames of reference are essentially fallacious to one degree or another. So that would mean that almost everything that one conceives is beside the point.
That's right, because if it's not the point, it has to be beside it.
That's right. I was watching our little granddaughter, and she was in this relationship with her foot, and she was kind of grabbing on it, and it was moving, and then she would hold it, and it was moving, and it almost felt like she was really trying to grasp that, the relationship between her foot and her hand and the action that was going on. Of course, she's 23 years old.
That's like 5.5 months old, but that's beside the point.
Right. Beside the point of that attempted bit of humor, that's for sure.
Truly an attempt, thank God, and not it.
But I often ask myself, you know, like, what is the point? What's the meaning of life, if you will? Because it makes such a difference. And these are some of the thoughts that you might reflect on it.
Why are we here? What's life all about? Is God really real? Going to sort it all out. But tonight, it's not
is our fate? Is there heaven and hell? Do we reincarnate? Is mankind evolving, or is it too late? What on earth is the meaning of life? For millions, this life is a sad veil of tears, sitting round with nothing to say. While the scientists say we're just simply spiraling coils of self-replicating DNA. So just why are we here? And just what do we fear? Well, so why, for a change, it will all be made clear. For this is the meaning of life. Self-constantly, this is the meaning of life.
Well, there you have it. It's the perfect setup for the punchline. The punchline being the answer to the question, the meaning of life. We touched upon meaning a week or so ago, and so meaning is kind of related to the point, isn't it? They're sort of country cousins.
Yeah, they're relatives, and they do talk.
But do they talk into the same language?
Well, that's beside the point.
Speaking of point and speaking of relatives, there was a wonderful story by Hans Christian Andersen, and it was called The Girl Who Trod on a Loaf. And I was so moved by that story that I actually wrote a children's musical based on it. And it was about this country girl whose parents were very poor, and she was sent to the city to be with her wealthy cousins. And they sent her back one day sometime later with a loaf of bread to give to her poor parents. But in the meantime, she had grown quite vain and quite full of herself. And she came upon a puddle on the way to visit her parents. And she had on her dainty, clean little dress. And rather than get it dirty, she put the bread down in the puddle and stepped on it. And then she went through the earth, deep down, falling way down until she ended up in a veritable Hades. And the descriptions are just horrible, slithering creatures all over her and her tied up. And she was really miserable. It was horrible. So the story goes, though, about her and how she's broke through into the earth and has gone, and somehow mortals got wind of it, and it was told about her, and it was like, serves her right, was the attitude. But one night, a little girl was being read to, or the story was being shared with her, and she was so touched by Inga, that was the name of the little girl, Inga's plight, that she shed a tear. And the tear went down into the earth, and it went all the way through into this Hades-like place, and it landed on Inga's head. And instantly she became a bird, and she flew up out of this dark place, and she flew up into the sky. Now, as it turns out, there was kind of like a famine for birds, and many birds were going hungry. So Inga, as the bird, went around and picked up crumbs of bread to bring to the birds until the amount of crumbs equaled the size of the loaf of bread that she originally had stepped on.
Wow.
I don't know if that's beside the point.
It seems to me that it's making a point.
Well, there it is. So we can get beside it. What is beside the point, if that is the point, was the musical that I wrote, which has never been performed, alas.
Really? Never?
No. Huh. I'd like to see it performed before I croak and I become beside the point by virtue of my no longer being here. Yes, this is the old version to me talking, and I'm speaking from 20 years from now, and the way I spend my days is trying to get back the 89 years that I parted from, because they were so delicious. But that's okay. I'm just the old guy getting ready to take off. But in the meantime, I'm going to have as much fun as possible, and as long as I can keep enjoying the beauties of the world.
not to mention beautiful other sex, the one that's on the other side, that's beside the point over there. I will enjoy myself. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you, future self. Okay. All right.
I just want to go back to something that's beside this point. The meaning of life. Who is the person that's saying that?
That was from the Monty Python movie. We have this option of being able to arrive at the point anytime. I wonder if the point is simply to be here now. And so anything we do that's like past, future, is really all beside the point.
And yet, I still think that the present and the now has to do more with engagement than time. When you're fully engaged with something, there is no time. Time becomes irrelevant or beside the point.
Right.
Because when you're fully engaged, how many times have we heard the expression, you know, where did the time go? When you're having a good time and you're enjoying yourselves and you're having the kind of engagement that makes time disappear.
But perhaps it's not as beside the point as one might assume. Where did the time go? Let's look at that and see if there is some place for the time to have gone.
Huh. Where did the time go? Well, since time is just no real meaning except to us, we created time in terms of increments. There's time in terms of the earth and the sun and the moon and the movement of all these planets and stars and everything else, and watching them creates a sense of movement, and then time becomes a movement rather than something on your watch.
I like that. I'm trying to decide if it's beside the point. Well, it's just a little to the side. It's
very
off.
Small to the side.
It's very off.
I mean,
the
you
side.
Can still see the point. So you're not so beside it that you have to turn your head all around and get a crink in your neck.
See, I think time was kind of a trick that infinite undivided space played on itself.
Undivided space. Oh, what a fun image that is.
It's a trick it played on itself by creating time, which was this kind of gap that allowed phenomena and action to happen. But yet, what is it and where is it? It's a creation. It's a fabrication.
Well, it really is about movement, because think about it. You were born, and we're at this point in our lives, a lot of time has elapsed. So there is this sense of movement. I mean, we certainly don't look or act anything like two-year-olds. Well, maybe we do act like two-year-olds. But the thing is that we don't look like two-year-olds.
Yeah, but that's beside the point.
That's true. And so there is this sense of movement. There's change. There is evolution. And evolution is about time.
It seems so. It's such a mystery. So that's something we need to ponder. It's like when we ask these kind of questions, we're really going into the mystery, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Baby, there's a way. yourself go. Baby, this I know. You gotta dance and sing and be alive in the mystery and be joyous and give thanks and let your soul go.
Of course, that was Van Morrison with The Mystery. I thought he summed it up pretty good.
He did. I mean, that is the point. Are you willing to enter into this mystery and everything else is beside it?
What it raises is the issue of control. What we need to control, what we believe we can control, what we believe control will do for us, and how do we regard something like let go and fall into the mystery, which is not control. I may have shared this before, but I think that one of the reasons why it's so hard for us as humans, many, at least in the culture and the people I interact with, to be very receptive. We put out, we talk, but to actually have an exchange and actually be receptive to what someone else is sharing with you is not always easily found. And I believe this because when we are receptive, we're not in control. And that's difficult for those of us who are squeamish about the precipitousness of existence.
That is the point. That's not beside it. That is it. We're squeamish about the unknown. And the mystery, or what people want to call God or anything else, is unknown. We keep trying to make it known, fit it into our mental apparatus so that we can control it. And if it doesn't fit into our mental apparatus, which is beside the point, then we feel like we are flailing. That's a good word. If we're flailing, it's very scary. One of the things that I feel strongly about is that when I let go, I don't flail. When I let go, the answers I need for my right action appear because there's nothing in the way of them. I'm no longer trying to guide the ship and everything. I'm really just letting go and allowing the answers to come to me. I'm reading this book. There's this wonderful passage where this young man who finds parts of a radio and puts it back together. He's like 8, 10 years old. And they talked about how he did this. He got very still and he allowed himself to receive all these parts and see where they belonged. And he was fixing someone's radio and the woman said, it was amazing. He was really still for a very long time and then he fixed it. That's when it spoke to him in a sense. And I think all people who have a facility or a talent understand that modality of living.
I understand it. And I used to be beside that point until I got to the point where I understood it.
I bet you did.
I was just noticing the other day when I raised a question, like, how am I going to do that little thing, some little physical thing? And the answer just came. Like I was going on, I said, I need a fanny pack that's long. And then I thought, oh, my photo bag. It's like things come to you. And when you think about the great inventors and the great artists, there have been great realizations, concepts discovered or inventions that have come to people in their dreams. So it seems to me that our part in it is to prepare the soil. That's the part we get to do. And the preparing of the soil is, among other things, turning up your consciousness like you would turn up an actual soil with a plow. Periodically, you got to just break it up and break up your old patterns and assumptions and habits and judgments, because while they may have been successful at some point, we keep evolving and we keep changing. And I have to step back from my patterns and ask myself, well, is this what will serve this moment the best now? Am I willing to let it go? And that depends upon the degree to which I become attached to my methods, my ways, my beliefs, and my perceptions.
And those methods, perceptions, and beliefs from the past are beside the point.
Exactly, because the point is saying, be here now. That's what the point is saying. Be Here Now, which you heard him singing, Ray La Montagne, Montaigne, La Montaigne. Here I wanted to say it was like Montagne. Hello, this is Chef Mangiore Linguini. I haven't been on your show since you started, but I heard from my other friends that you have a really good show about the things that are on the point, what you're saying. I like to make a point. Of course, my point is, my specialty is that I like to cook up a good pasta. People come to me and they got a pasta that's no good. That's a pasta that made them like a mean. They wanted to have their pasta recooked. And so what I help them do is go back on their pasta and re-look at their pasta and cook it up again and make it taste a little better, like you go back in your pasta and like you were abused because you're like a little kid and they didn't understand you. So you have that a pasta, and it's like it's a becoming like a sour and smelly. It's like it's a terrible thing to carry around. But so we take the pasta that you had from your pasta, and we put it in a container, and then we take it and we throw it into the trash.
Which is not beside the point.
No, and then we cook up some fresh pasta. And that's made up out of what's happening now and the things that happen in your life. You turn it and you make it into pasta and then you eat it up and you savor it. That's a big thing. Well, I see people, they shovel a food in their mouth, a food that I make it special for them, instead of savoring the food. I have a Chef Mangiore Linguini special diet. It's called the Savor Diet. And if people do the Savor Diet, they will not only lose the weight, but they will become attractive to themselves and like the body they live in more.
Well, thank you, Chef. I mean, I think that's very sweet, and it's definitely not beside the point because we want to feel good about ourselves no matter what.
boy, it's a struggle to stay off the point enough so that we could say beside the point. But then someone might be listening to us. Those of you who are out there listening to Inside Out, the Naked Truth, sponsored by Go Raw, might be thinking, well, that's not the point. There was someone in our life who saw a video. Title on the video said something like inspirational comedy. And then he saw what we did. And he made a remark. He said, that's not necessarily inspirational to me. I'm really into golf. What would be inspirational to me, The Secrets of Arnold Palmer, dropped into my arms, legs, hips, and buttocks, and automatically worked. So what is inspirational to one may not be inspirational to the other.
That's beside the point, because what is truly inspirational is that which inspires you. So it doesn't matter what the subject matter is, which is beside the point. What matters is that you're inspired to do whatever it is that you are inspired to do.
I like that. It's nudging up to beside the point, but it's not going to fall into it.
That's right. I like to be inspired. To me, if I read about somebody doing something excellent, I may not have the talent to do that, but I do have talent of my own, and the fact that I can take my talent and make it wonderful is just as important as that other person making their talent and doing something important. Does that make sense, or is it beside the point?
Let me think about it. But isn't that what you're talking about when one excels, what you were just saying?
Mm-hmm. That you have talent and you're inspired to take your talent as far as it will go? I didn't repeat it, but I said it differently.
Okay. This is to be sure that you did say it differently.
You'd have to listen to it.
Okay.
You'd go to the back, and then replay it to the front, and then play it, and then hear it. And I cannot be like that. I'm not a machine. Today, I almost shot a machine.
Really?
Yes. If I had an instrument of destruction, I would have killed the machine.
This is especially bad because this is the third time and you're out thing. She's done it twice before, for which she was arrested.
No, I was not.
That yes, you were.
Totally
you killed two machines.
I did not.
If you had gotten arrested.
You're making it up. I did not. I didn't kill any machines. I have thoughts of killing machines, but you don't get arrested for your thoughts as much as you do for your actions.
No, but supposedly God knows your thoughts.
That's the
point I wanted to bring up. Thank you for bringing me back around there. You said something about the content. It's really not about the content. For example, one of the concepts that is central to the Arantxa book teachings is that there is this presence of a particle, if you will. It's not really a good metaphor because it implies that it's somehow separate from source. But there's a little piece of the divine, of the essential reality, that actually lives inside of our consciousness. They call it the thought adjuster, which is a very interesting word. It's not exactly a heartwarming word. Thought adjuster, but nevertheless, it describes the function of this fundamental beingness which exists in our consciousness, and it is to adjust our thinking processes. I was very impressed by that when I read that many years ago. Not the content of our thoughts, but our thinking process. And I've wondered about that for many years. Like, what are the thinking processes? Can you think of an example, Rochelle, of a thinking process?
When you get your thinking on point, I believe we have a purpose in life. And when one finds out what that purpose is, then you're on point, let's say. And you adjust your thinking to move closer to that point all the time. You're constantly looking at things and going, ah, I learned this from that, which brings me closer to that point. I think that's what the adjusting of your thinking is about. As if I think of things that have nothing to do with my purpose, you know, like they're frivolous, let's say, but not enjoyable. But if I extract from them that which I need to move me further to my purpose, then those words like frivolous and everything don't matter because I am on point.
I so want to say that's beside the point.
But you can't. because it's right on point.
There you go again.
Remember when I was a ballet dancer and the first time I put on shoes to make me dance on point, I thought to myself, that is the most painful thing I'd ever done in my entire life. All these beautiful ballet dancers that want nothing more than to put themselves in these tight little shoes and get on their point and break their toes and everything else so they can be ballet dancers, which, of course, are beautiful to watch. But being on point sometimes, when it comes to dancing, to me is beside the point. That was ridiculous. Okay, I admit it.
Well, okay, let me see if this is a little more on the point and less beside it. By the way, I didn't mention this, but for many years, I really just thought I was ahead of my time. And then one day, I woke up and I realized that, in fact, I was beside myself.
Which meant there were now two of you.
Oh, Professor is here. He wasn't with us last week. He wanted to say something about beside the point. Delighted to be here this evening, and every time I get close to the point, I always want to look out and check out the view and see what's looking out back to the point, and if the point is looking in only one direction, or if it looks in several directions at once, and in which case I ask myself, well, which direction should I go, and what would be the point if I go in that direction, to the left, for example, you know, and down the hallway and up the stairs and over there on top of the roof, and then jump off. That would be an example of something that would be really quite beside the point.
It would be beside the point, and it also would eliminate you.
Exactly. Well, that brings up the question of, are we eliminated by life? That's quite a paradox if you think about it. There you are, being life and having life and being aware of life, and then at some point life just flicks you off and says, that's enough of me. Goodbye.
Can be scary for most people.
Well, I think it's a question worth asking, and even better, getting an answer to that question, and that which is there a purpose to the life that would get me further along in life and continuing to do so until such time, which obviously, as you pointed out earlier, does not exist. So that will mean that I will get beyond time and I will have something that's, well, I will have a much more spaciousness in my life.
I almost think it's beside the point, but I don't know. It depends on where I'm looking at it from. What's my point? What's my advantage? What's my vantage point?
Well, I wanted to say that's the advantage of speaking in gobbledy British speak, which is what I love doing. And it's fascinating to me to speak gobbledy British speak because I never know what's going to get gobbled up in there. Because several ideas come out at once and they kind of get jammed up in the doorway and they each want to have the say of things.
That's a thing that's beside the point.
Right. You don't have to referee these very thoughts all saying, I'm important, I'm important, I'm more important. And then this one says, well, I make an important point about the nature of existence. And then the next one says, well, that's beside the point.
It's like saying that it's beside the point is almost demeaning it. And yet, maybe it's not. Maybe beside the point just means another point. One point is next to another point.
I just want to acknowledge Professor Lord Umbridge. Thank you for that. I guess it was insight. I guess that's a fair description.
Yes, insight. And since this is inside out, it's perfectly valid.
That's right.
He had a point.
He had a point that made a point. I thought that thing he said about the different thoughts that all kind of want to come out at once, I could relate to that. The other day I was walking through the woods and I was just watching my mind think this thought and that thought and this thought and that thought. And I thought, will there ever come a day when they just all shut up?
Probably. That's what death means.
We don't know that.
Well, the mind that you're walking around with now.
Well, that's the question. To what extent does this mind or this sense of awareness pass on beyond the body? And we've discussed this before, and I don't want to belabor the point, but I always recommend that before you die, you read a book called The Denial of Death.
Definitely read it before you die, because afterwards it's going to be difficult.
It won't serve you. Just like I tell parents, before you have teenagers, you should read a book called The Teenage Brain.
Ooh.
And if you wait till afterward,
it'll be beside the point.
Exactly. You know, speaking of beside the point, I want to play this song. It's totally beside the point, but I love its energy. It's by Colby Glett.
Will you count me in? I've been awake for a while now. You got me feeling like a child now. 'Cause every time I see your bubbly face, I get the tingles in a silly place. It starts in my toes and I crinkle my nose. Wherever it goes, I always know that you make me smile. Please stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go. The rain is falling on my windowpane, but we are hiding in a safer place. Undercover, staying safe and warm. Give me feelings that I adore. They start in my toes, make me crinkle my nose. Wherever it goes, I always know that you make me smile. Please stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go. What am I gonna say? Make me feel this way. I just and it starts in my toes, makes me crinkle my nose. Wherever it goes, I always know that you make me smile. Please stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go. For a while now, you tuck me in just like a child now. 'Cause every time you hold me in your arms, I'm comfortable enough to feel your warmth. It starts in my soul and I lose all control. When you kiss my nose, the feeling shows. 'Cause you make me smile, baby, just take your time now. Holding me tight.
A sweet song.
Colby Collette.
C-A-I-L-L-A-T. No, I mean a first name.
It's Colby, C-O-L-B-I-E. I think it's called Bubbly Lyrics. It's, I don't, or if that's a comment I made. But I find it very bubbly. And I like the feeling that it conveyed. You know, some music, is there are songs and then other pieces of music that are phenomena. And I want to go back to that song that we played, Ray LaMontagne. I only played half of it. It, to me, it was an orchestral experience. That it was a gestalt. It wasn't just the music. I felt that there was some good orchestration in there. Is that beside the point?
Depends on what the point is.
Exactly.
It always depends on what the point is, if it's beside it.
Okay, let's look at it pragmatically. Often as not, the point is survival. Often as not, the point is perpetuation. Often as not, I'll stop saying often as not after
Thank
this.
You, because that would be beside the point.
Yeah. I get that. I was noticing as I was saying often as not. And I was like, why would you say that more than once, really?
I know you're enumerating, in a way, many points.
Right.
But points are happening all the time. In the course of the day, what is the point? What point are we dealing with? There's a point. You have dirty dishes, you wash them. That's a point. I know I have to do that. I do it. I'm pointed to that task, and I do it. So that becomes the point. Now, if I had to go someplace else, it would be beside the point. Until where I went and did something else becomes the point.
Okay, here's a question about that. If I have to do the dishes, but I want to put it off and procrastinate, which is beside the point, me procrastinating or is doing the dishes beside the point? Because from the procrastinating side that doesn't want to do it, doing the dishes is really beside the point.
That's right. Exactly what I was saying in your words. And that is no longer beside the point.
That's another interesting thing that it brings up, which is coincide, where we coincide, like we just coincided.
Oh, that's a very funny way to say that.
Yeah.
Coincide.
Yeah, it's a variation on go inside.
Coincidental.
A coincidence. It reminds me of that line that you've heard this program before. You know, I love to quote from Teilhard de Chardin, my philosophic mystic hero, where he said, "Nothing is precious save what is in yourself, in others, and others in yourself." The place we overlap, or in this case, coincide, where we are both sharing the same inside.
Now that's a point well taken.
There you go. Recognition of that is the recognition of what we commonly call God or divine spirit. Or Charlie Mankiewicz. One day I thought Charlie Mankiewicz when I was a little kid was God, because he would act real godly, at least the way he said. He says, "I'm God, do what I tell you." So I
thought. How old was he?
Oh, he was maybe 6, 8, I don't know.
Well, when you're 6 and 8, you know who you are.
It does get complicated after that. Speaking of reaching for your toe, I was.
That was a long time ago and very much beside the point right now, but go right ahead.
No, that's okay. This is Inside Out, the Naked Truth. I do want to say we're here at Lupin Lodge. Lupin celebrated its 80th birthday of being a business, in business, and it's been a naturist resort all these 80 years. I believe the first name of it was Elysium something or other, which I think is a beautiful name, and it's gone through so much, not the least of which is that society's attitude, in this culture anyway, toward public nudity is really odd. But in some ways, you could argue that not as odd. A lot of people came out this weekend. There might have been 1,500 people dancing at the birthday party, and most everybody was naked. And I kind of looked around and I thought, you know, that really is odd from a certain point of view.
Yes, it is. And from another point of view, which is beside the point, of course, is that here were people feeling comfortable enough in their nudity to share it with each other and not sexually, just actually just hanging around, eating, walking, enjoying themselves. And I felt very inspired by that there were people really comfortable with their bodies, that were not hiding them or making a display of them either. They just were there.
And certainly all shapes and sizes. That's really the good thing, because it gets beyond all those assumed identities that we often wear as costumes and apparel.
And that's one of the things that's so wonderful about naturism, is that it doesn't matter what you look like. Because we're not being judged by appearances, that we have a sense of ourself, and the body that we inhabit is just the body we inhabit, and it's not much different than the clothes we choose to wear to hide it.
You could argue that self-acceptance, if it isn't the point, or if it's beside the point in your life, you might consider having it be closer to being the point.
Yes.
And not undervalue yourself. That's one of the visions I've had for our work here as people come here. And, of course, not wearing clothes is a big step for a lot of people. Just that, just getting beyond any kind of shame or self-consciousness is huge. And all the associations with sexuality and everything that goes along with the baggage of the body.
I have to tell you that I got a call from a young woman who was here at the party. She's never been to a naturist place before. it was her first time with what we call social nudity. At least that's an expression some people use, which is not beside the point. Anyway, she said it was the most exhilarating, freeing experience she's ever had, to be naked with other naked people and not feel that there was anything asked of her or somebody was putting anything on her, that she was just felt so free. It was so exciting that she wanted to come here and stay here forever.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that great?
And I thought that was beautiful, you know, that someone had that experience of liberation.
To me, that's a great step, and for many people, a huge and first step. But then the next step is to start getting naked internally, start revealing what's going on that drives us, which usually is coated over by guilt or shame. And that's a whole other issue that we can and probably will look at over the weeks as it becomes closer to the point.
Because it's not beside the point.
No, it's not beside the point. But tonight it's sort of beside the point because that's such a huge issue. Tonight, it seems to me that the point, then we're going back to where we started, is asking the question, is there a reason? Really, you know, can we get a hold of it? Can we tap into it? How do we recognize it?
For this life, is there a reason for your life? I gotta find my way in a complicated life. I got no more time for working like a dog. I got no more time for working like a dog. You know I should be in a steering wheel instead of just a car. You know my 9 to 5 has begun. My 9 to 5 have gonna feel like a bore. Cause a dollar bill don't mean much to me no more. I dreamed of the end of the world when the sky.
Find your way, Ash Grunwald, through a complicated life. He did remind me of probably the main point for most people, or many people, much of the time, and that is the dollar. That's what the character in that song was wrestling with. 9 to 5 just for the dollar, and as he pointed out, when the sky is falling and the world appears to be coming to an end, your dollars, they will be beside the point.
They will be beside the point. You know, at some point, we'll be beside the point. In fact, maybe a good point to get to, being beside the point. because it definitely takes in a lot more. It's much more expansive to be beside the point, because you're not just the point, you're beside it. So there's more of it.
Uh-huh. Because if you just stay on the point and you don't really explore getting beside the point, then you'll never know, first of all, whether you're on the right side or the wrong side of the point. And that's something that might be good to consider. Is there a right side of the point or a wrong side of the point?
Not if you're on point.
Well, wait a minute. See, that brings in the issue of discrimination, that we do have and can and need to discriminate until we find our way into not only understanding, but actually living in the fundamental patterns and the way the universe and life wants to move, because it has a certain directionality.
I don't agree.
Wow.
Because that's about controlling it. I think that you learn from what you do, and then you make adjustments. But that's different than saying, oh, I'm plotting this thing out in this course, and this is the way I'm going to go, because that's the way I'm discerning things and judging things.
I failed to communicate clearly there, because based upon your reaction,
it's beside the point.
It's beside the point, yeah. Because I wasn't implying control. I was implying the opposite of control. But I think it's good to have a clear example of what it is beside the point. But I hope that you don't think you, listener to Inside Out,
the Naked Truth.
Thank you. I started to say the Laughing Heart, which is our company, Inside Out, the Laughing Heart / Naked Truth. Life is pointing to you in such an incredible way that it has given you this unique opportunity to exist and to make choices and to ponder and go after whatever you go after, but to appreciate the point life is making as you. That would be a good question to ask ourselves.
To appreciate the point that life is making as you?
Yeah, as you.
What life. Is the point? That you are.
Yeah. What's the point here? Yeah. What's the point of Rochelle? Or what's the point of whoever's listening out there? Jack, George, Denise, Dennis, Fran, Larry, Tobias, Harry. Man, I'm so glad you all are here. But we need to kind of wrap it up because it's about that time. So this is Inside Out.
The Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge.
Where clothing is optional, as we
pointed. But the truth is always naked.
And so, what do we need to remember?
Remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Is that beside the point?
No, honey, that is the point.
Oh, that is the point.
Good night.
Good night.
And that is beside the point.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for Humanity, Climate Restabilization Plan, and the Evolutionary Principles for a Sustainable Prosperity. Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.